Good morning to you all. We welcome you to Grace Bible Church this morning. We're glad that you're here on this rainy Sunday morning. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, and I read, "Let your moderation or your patient steadfastness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." I want you to note, please, that before you can claim the gift of verse 7, you've got to know the previous verses before. So many times we like to hone in on something we really like, "and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." But what has to go before? Notice this, please. First of all, you've got to have patient steadfastness. The idea there behind that word that's used in the original language is the ability to submit to injustice without hatred. You know, we live in a world filled with injustice, do we not? And yet, as Christians, we are called upon to have patient steadfastness. We're not to go out and try to gain our own. We're to just serve the Lord and be faithful to Him. He'll take care of us in that regard. And then in verse 6 it says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be careless, but be faithful. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Do you know why so many people today that name the name of Christ lack peace in their family and their life and so forth? They don't have a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have a connection with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have a prayer life that is filled with thanksgiving as you let your requests be made known unto God, because there's no connection between themselves and the Father through Jesus Christ. Therefore, what's left? Well, there's no peace. There's no understanding. There's no keeping of the hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so as a result, there's difficulty, there's trial, there's struggle, there are problems that we face because we have no connection with the Father. Now, how can you have a connection with the Father? Well, it's not by doing good acts. It's not by being nice to your neighbor. It's not by being civil and being gentle. The action comes through Christ's work in your heart. And then, through Christ's work in your heart, you now have a connection with the Father. You become the Father's child through Jesus Christ. And now, you can connect with the Father through prayer and supplication and make your requests and your thanksgiving known unto the Father. And, it says, verse 7, "and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In order to have verse 7, you've got to know Jesus Christ. You've got to be connected to Him. You've got to be steadfast. You've got to be careful for nothing. You've got to pray. You've got to seek His face. You must have a connection with the Father in order to enjoy the peace that He wants to bestow in your heart and life. This world is full of individuals who suffer because they have no peace. And what they need to do is be rightly related to the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do I hear an amen? Amen. May we have that today.
We're going to begin by turning to number 284. Number 284, "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart." Let's stand together as we sing on all three stanzas.
Lord, lay some soul. Oh,
please remain standing as Brother Rob comes to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity to be here together. And Father, the message of the song is so very true. We do need to look for souls to win. We do need to actively participate in your ministry, that so much of your ministry on earth was teaching your disciples how to tell others, admonishing them to get out, to seek the highways and byways for those who need to know the plan of salvation, to know the need, the greatness of what Christ has done, what God has done. And Lord, I pray that when opportunities are presented, that we would be channels for the Holy Spirit to work, that we have no power of words ourselves. We recognize our weakness, Lord, but we recognize your strength. And Lord, that you are the Savior of all mankind, and you are the plan of salvation and the road to eternity and the road to a good life on earth, Lord, that you seek and save and make life better. And this is the message that we have, and it would be foolish to hide it under a bushel and hide it from mankind out of some kind of self-developed fear. I pray, Lord, that you would work on us on a daily basis, the Holy Spirit, making us better vessels for you on a daily basis, and that we would be open to this. We're thankful for the come together and be fed at your word today, and we're thankful for those who have joined us here, and especially for with seeing Adam again and the ministry that he has, Lord, the way that you've worked in his life. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen him and give him courage in all of his new endeavors, give him faith in you, and give him good results in everything that, that you put before him. Pray for Ed Earwood also, that Lord, ministry is so important, and that it would continue, that the education of children and education of children in a godly manner in the way of the Christ is the way of reality, in the way that the humanistic world is teaching. It's just so veered off into fantasy, Lord, that kids nowadays in a public environment are not getting the full truth of the world or of God. Mm-hmm. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them both. I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless the ministries here in the school and in the church and in all of the Gospel Project's endeavors, Lord, and that we would be number one servants of you, and all that would be considered and done would be at your hand and at your mercy. I pray that you would bless the word as it's heard today, and that our hearts would be open and our lives again to it in any basis necessary change. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn together now to number 174. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Number 174. Thank you. Let's turn together to number 386 now. 386, rejoice ye pure in heart, rejoice, give thanks, and sing. We'll sing on the first and the last stanzas. Singing this morning. Thank you. Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to pick up. We've been a couple of weeks out of this series dealing with justice for all, looking at the 250th anniversary of our nation, but also looking at the fact that Jesus Christ is our justice. Jesus Christ is our justice, and we took time to look at that word. We took time at the scriptures related to the fact that one day Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of this earth, and He's going to rule the world, the Bible says, with equity and justice. And it will not be defined by all the crazy folks out there, the woke people, who have redefined all those words. It'll be defined by the Bible itself. And so we thank the Lord for that future event. I want us to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're just going to focus on that last verse. We didn't get a chance to do that in our previous series in this passage of Scripture. It says there in verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness to us. We thank You for the Scriptures. And I pray that You would work in our hearts and lives today as we consider this passage of Scripture. I pray that You would help us to understand and know that we are to comfort each other. That's one of our responsibilities as believers in Christ, to comfort each other. And the subject of that comfort is none other than Jesus Christ and His coming to deliver us from the wrath to come. We thank You, dear Father, for Your goodness, for Your grace, for Your mercy that You minister to our souls each and every day. We're so undeserving. But Father, on the merits of Jesus Christ, You provide us with all these wonderful things, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night, Beth and I went and celebrated our 34th anniversary by going over to see Brian Kilmeade at the Sanger Theater. He's a Fox News thing. It was a very, very good time, 2.5 hours long, but he shared the history of the United States. It's part of his 250th tour, and it was just very, very informative. I learned so many different things. But one of the things at the very beginning, they were scrolling pictures of Brian with different notable people. One of them was Mike Lindell. How many of you know who Mike Lindell is? All right, what commercial do you see on TV all the time? My Pillow. And I couldn't help but think that most people, when they think of the word comfort, they think about ease and relaxing. My Pillow talks about you're going to get the greatest night's sleep with My Pillow. And he sits there and he puts his hand on top of the pillow and he kind of does that. I've bought a couple of My Pillows. I got sucked in by the advertising just like everybody else. And right now My Pillow is just as flat as a piece of carpet. I throw it in the dryer and do all the things it's supposed to do, and it gets all fluffy until two nights later and you're back down again with your neck all cricked up and so forth like that. And I said, they should have stuffed more of that stuff inside of it, built that thing up so over the time, it would balance out. That's most people's idea of comfort. Get in your lazy boy chair, kick the lever back, comfort, all right? Whenever I was growing up, I was always jealous. Dr. Hobbs always had nice cars, and he had a Buick LeSabre, I think it was. I forget exactly, but it said Body by Fisher when he got into the vehicle. Anybody remember that Body by Fisher? All right. And when you looked it up in the book, it always said Comfort Ride. Comfort Ride. And when you rode in that car, it was like just drifting, you know? Those big old cars, you could just go down the road and it would just, it was just night. Now, I don't mean drifting in the modern sense of the word, okay? Drifting today means spinning around and doing all kinds of donuts and stuff. Though that you could have probably done that with that vehicle anyway. But comfort ride, ease. You don't feel the bumps. But understand something here. That's not the word that's used here. As a matter of fact, this word is used repeatedly by the Apostle Paul. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 times he uses that word. It's translated comfort, consolation, same word. And that particular word means to encourage, but more specifically, it's two words put together. It means to call alongside. To call alongside. Now, we've dealt with the subject of why Paul wrote this letter. Timothy had come back to Corinth, where he was at that particular time, And he had shared with them what God had been doing among the church there at Thessalonica and the victories that were being won, but also some confusion about the tribulation they were going through. Thlipsis, that tribulation, that pressure that was on them. And many began to think, we're in the tribulation period that Paul talked about. We're in the middle of this. When is it going to stop and how bad is it going to get? And Paul wrote that letter to encourage them. Literally to come alongside them, to encourage them and say, listen, the rapture hasn't happened yet. I'm still here. God hasn't called us out yet. God has called us to go through persecution, to go through trials, to go through difficulties, but to rest in Him in the middle of that. And we come to this verse here, verse 18, which many times we kind of blur through. What has he just talked about? What words had he just given to the Thessalonian believers? Well, let's go back and read it again. Let's start back here at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, by the way, there's a comma between ignorant and brethren. He wasn't calling them ignorant brethren, all right? He said, I want you to have knowledge. I want you to know what God is going to do concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And so we see the great, wonderful truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means. It means new life in Jesus Christ. It means the promise that in eternity we're going to have a body like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that are asleep, those that go before us, those who pass away, they're in Christ and they will come back with Christ. They're spirits. And then he goes on to share something that was never revealed in the Old Testament. And that is the truth of the snatching up into the clouds. And we're going to get into this today a little bit because there's a lot of people that confuse and say, what Paul's sharing here is just another aspect of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's what Matthew 24 talks about, and yet there's so many things missing from what he's sharing here that's shared in Matthew. It doesn't sound the same. Because it's not. It's the snatching up of believers, the dead rising first, then we which are alive and remain are caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then what's the next statement? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's something that's not predicted in the Old Testament. We hear about the Lord coming in the clouds, but then we hear about the cataclysmic events that happen when He comes. The shaking of the earth, Matthew 24 says. Earthquakes. Stars falling out of the heavens. Unbelievable events taking place. People quake in fear. Every eye sees Him coming. And what does He do? Does He stop in the clouds? No. He comes down and He touches on the earth in three different locations. First of all, He goes to the Battle of Armageddon, to the Valley of Jezreel. And there He mops up the ground with the enemies of Israel. What a glorious day that's going to be when Jesus Christ alone does this. Don't think, saints, that we're going to be down there in the battle fighting with them. We're going to be sitting there witnessing what Jesus Christ does alone. And the blood, the Bible says, will rise to the bridle of the horses. Unbelievable carnage wrought by Jesus Christ. Then he goes to what we learn in the book of Micah, to the location known as Bozra. Many people believe that that's near the modern-day town of Petra. But it's in the rocks and the hills that are located in southern Jordan. And there he goes. Now, why does he go there? Because in four different locations in the Gospels and in the Old Testament, we're told that God said, flee into the rocks whenever the abomination of desolation takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. He says, flee to the rocks, and they go and they gather at Bozra. And Jesus Christ personally, after He defeats the enemies of Israel, goes to bring His remnant that he told to flee, and he brings them back to Jerusalem, and there he touches down the third time, touches down in Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives splits in half. Waters begin to flow. It flows all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, and Jerusalem becomes a seaport, and Jesus Christ doesn't become the mayor of Jerusalem. He becomes the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the whole earth. All right? That's associated with his second coming. The first aspect that was not shared, and by the way, does God have the privilege to share things later than earlier? Absolutely. There are a lot of things that the Gospels share with us about Jesus Christ that we only have hints of in the Old Testament. And God takes Paul into the wilderness for 3 years. And what does he do there? He teaches him. He shares with them what he's going to be sharing. And that is the glorious truth of Jesus Christ going to the uncircumcised. Not that God's getting rid of Israel. Not that God has forgotten about Israel and now he's going to create a new people that they get all the promises of Israel. No, that's not what's shared in the Bible. God's not done with Israel, amen? God's not done. He's going to keep every promise of every covenant that he's made with Israel. But he shares with Paul during that period of time the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentile. And that's why Paul preaches of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ coming to get his church and taking them, which makes up every people group, including Jews that are alive at that time that have come to faith in Jesus Christ. He will snatch them up off the earth. And you know what he says after he's done with all this testimony, Paul writing to the Thessalonians? He says, I want you to take these words and I want you to do something. I want you to come alongside each other and I want you to encourage each other. Now notice something, please. He does not say, I want you to encourage yourself with these words. He says, I want you to go up to other brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want you to encourage them. Comfort them. Not in a sleepy, relaxed type thing, but coming alongside to edify and to assure them of these wonderful words. Now, if these wonderful words include going through the tribulation period and going through all the horrors and terrors of that, is that comforting? Not at all. Because in the last verse of the first chapter, remember there were no verses and no chapters in the letters that Paul wrote, he says that we are going to be delivered from the wrath to come. Look at verse 10 in chapter 1. We're delivered from the wrath to come. I want to tell you something. Those are comforting words. No one would be comforted. Hey, you're going to have all these horrible things happen to you, and then at the end, Jesus is going to come back, and everything's going to be all right again. No, he says, I'm going to take out my church. I'm going to take out my body, and I'm going to bring them up to myself. And oh, we're going to have a glorious time together. Oh, yes, there's the judgment seat of Christ, but it's not a judgment for sin. Amen? That was handled at the cross. This judgment is going to be for reward. And then what follows that? The Bible says the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many of you like to go to weddings? They're fun things to do, aren't they? Especially if they have what at the end? Food. Yeah, food. How many of you have ever seen somebody crash a wedding? We had, I think it was Roger's wedding. We had somebody that showed up that we didn't even know who they were. And I don't even remember all the circumstances, but we were all looking at, who is that? You know? It was somebody that knew Eva from work, all right? And I don't know if it was one of the people that sold joints and all that, but they came to her wedding. That's nice, all right? And they liked the food, all right? Now, that's going to be a wonderful time, is it not? The marriage supper of the Lamb, where we all enjoy His presence. I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to be fighting over who's going to be first in the food line. You know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be gazing on the wonders of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? I get so tired of people talking about, oh, it's going to be so wonderful to tread on the streets of gold. I'm going to have to tiptoe. You won't be thinking about that. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. I'm going to be reunited with this person over here. Yes, that'll be wonderful, but that's not who you're going to be looking at. You're going to be gazing at your Savior, who is the light of heaven, and realize, I don't deserve to be here. But because of the merits and righteousness of Jesus Christ, I can be here. Isn't that wonderful? This is where we have a charismatic moment, folks. Woohoo! All right, I know. I mean, we have to be staged. We can't do that. But, yeah, thank you. That was almost good. Yeah. I don't know about you, but whenever I think of that old song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through," it has more meaning today than it did a long time ago. I remember in 1989, all the hubbub of going into the 1990s. And all the different predictors of, oh, the Lord's going to come back at any time. We're seeing all these events and all the prophesiers were talking about the fall of the Berlin Wall. And everybody was talking about Jesus Christ is coming back. And I remember thinking on that New Year's night, 1989 going into 1990, Lord, I'm not married yet. I don't have any kids. I'm going to miss all that if you come back. Now, that was really selfish of me, was it not? I mean, but that's how we think as humans, right? We have all these different signposts of life, and we would like to go all through that. And somehow rapture truth gets in the way of that. But in reality, it doesn't. Because you know what you're going to do the second that you're in the presence of Jesus Christ? All that's forgotten. You don't sit in heaven and think about, I wish I could have been married on earth. Isn't that why the Lord said that there's no marriage nor giving in marriage in heaven? You know why? Because we're going to be occupied with one person. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort. Para, kaleo is the root word. Para, all right, come alongside. And kaleo, it comes from the word call. To call alongside. Hey, come here. Come over here. That's the idea of comfort in the Bible. And we are told that we're to go to other brothers and sisters in Christ and we're to encourage them about our future. That's a good thing. You say, well, I know what's in my future. I'm going to die. I can't find comfort in that. Comfort one another with these words. God knows us better than any other being in this universe. Do you believe that this morning? God knows us. He knows our frame. Have you ever thought about that expression? He knows our frame. Brother Ed was talking about how that he had an injury before he came here in high school. Now it's affecting him now. And have you reached the big number yet? Almost. 69 tomorrow. We had another birthday here. We need to sing to you before you go. Yeah. Now, it's not fun living with that, is it? It doesn't feel good. Nika, her knee popped out this week. That doesn't feel good, does it, Nika? No, it doesn't. And that meant that Mike had to do all the cleaning this week, taking care of his wife. Thumbs down, right? Yeah, we need comfort, but we don't need the Mike Lindell My Pillow comfort. You know what we need? We need to encourage each other. We need to pray for each other. Comfort one another with what? A bunch of platitudes? I'm thinking about you, brother. Well, that sounds good. Be ye warmed and filled. Oh, that sounds good. That's not the kind of comfort we need. We need the comfort that only the Scriptures can bring. And he says, comfort one another with these words. What he has just talked about. The coming of the Lord in the clouds. And we find in the rapture, no mention of angels. Whereas in the second coming of Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 and verse 26, it talks about the angels attending.
with Jesus. And he doesn't stay in the clouds in Matthew 24. He comes down to the earth. Cataclysmic events happening. Stars falling out of the heavens. I can't imagine that. I kind of like going out on walks at night. I come up here on campus, you get over here on the backside near the woods, and you can see the stars a whole lot better than around the streetlights. And I like to look at the different things that you can see, and constellations and mighty Orion and all the different things that are out there. I have a little app that I'll carry out with me, and I'll kind of shout. I can find the International Space Station, and I can see the Hubble Space Telescope, and I can find all the planets and where they're located. It's kind of fun. I know I'm crazy, but it's kind of fun. But can you imagine those things falling out of the sky that's predicted? None of that is shared in the rapture truth. It's just a catching up of the dead in Christ first and a snatching up of all the believers caught up into His presence. No statement made about Him coming down to the earth, only staying in the clouds. God revealed that to the Apostle Paul, and Paul shares that. He talks about it to the church at Corinth in chapter 15. Same thing, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, caught up together to meet Him. Folks, how are we comforting each other these days? How are we comforting each other? I know that we need to be there for people. When they're going through a difficult time, we need to be there. But how do we comfort them? Do we comfort them with the words that Jesus says we're supposed to comfort them with? By the way, who did Jesus Christ identify as the Paraclete, all right? The Holy Spirit. But by the way, that word is also used of Jesus Christ. You can read about that in 1 John. Jesus Christ is our Paraclete. He's our Comforter. He's the one that comes alongside. The Holy Spirit comes alongside. John chapter 14. I think it's verse 16 where we read that. The Paraclete, same root word as parakaleo. Come alongside to support, to encourage, to lift up, to make sure that we make it. You've got Jesus and you've got the Holy Spirit. Has God taken care of His children? Absolutely. God, I don't know why you let this happen in my life. There's terrible things that are happening around. It's all your fault. No, it's not. It's called the curse of sin. Curse of sin has been playing out over this planet ever since Adam and Eve. We can't stop that. And if God went around all the time stopping all the bad things, and we didn't have to go through tribulations and trials, do you think for one second that you as a sinful individual would be trusting God and resting in Him? I don't think so. God has allowed these things to happen so that we rest in Him. And we comfort each other. Comfort each other. Hey, Lord's coming back soon. That's what I appreciate about Brother Lindsay. He's like, isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is coming back? Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. He's coming back. This indicates getting older. All right? Richard Winsatt came by this week. I hadn't seen him in 4 years. He stopped by to see Roger and I, and I took him on a tour of the campus and so forth like that. I said, Richard, I see you're battling the same thing I am. He said, well, did you have a surgery on your neck, Todd? I said, no. I said, I'm looking on the top of your head. Anyway, he just started like, yeah. I said, I remember you with brown hair. And what color did I have, Richard? Oh, you had brown hair too. And I said, now it's turned gray. He said, I feel my age every time. He's 62. And was talking about his brothers, David, and went through all the Bruce and Michael, and talking about all the age stuff that they're dealing with. And I said, isn't it wonderful, Richard, to know that Jesus Christ is coming back soon? We need to be encouraging each other. Now, I don't know if he was encouraged by that or not, but I wanted to say that. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is coming back soon? And I do that because God said, comfort one another with these words. Oh, there's so many other words that we're to comfort each other with. But this specifically, Paul says to a church that was struggling with tribulation and persecution and difficulty, thinking we're in the tribulation period. And Paul's making it clear to him, we're not in that period yet. These are just the normal tribulations of life here upon this planet. Comfort one another with these words. Would you bow your heads, please? I wonder sometimes if in our hearts and lives we're struggling with different things and we just don't seem to have comfort. Not in the idea of softness and tenderness, but the idea of comfort that comes from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Do you experience that? Maybe there's someone here that says, no, I don't experience that like I should. We're to comfort one another with these words, Scripture. And who is the Word? It's none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Maybe you just need to cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm not doing a good job encouraging my fellow believers. I'm not doing a good job at all. All I do is complain. All I do is wish that these things would go away. I wish I didn't have this health problem. I wish I didn't have that health problem. I wish I didn't have the struggles that I have. Well, as Aunt Carolyn used to say, don't grow a wishbone where your backbone ought to be. You have the words of Scripture. The words of Scripture to comfort and encourage. Right now, would you just cry out to God and say, Lord, help me to be a better encourager. Help me to be a paraclete in the sense that I help other brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them with the Word, not with psychological means, not with all the things that this world tries to comfort itself with, but with the simple, wonderful Word of God. Father in heaven, I thank you for this passage of Scripture and the instruction that's given. I'm sure when the Thessalonian believers read that, they said, we're to comfort each other, knowing that we're going through struggles and tribulations right now. Yes, that was the answer. Find your comfort in Christ. Find your comfort in the Word and let the Holy Spirit do His work in your life. Lord, would you challenge us this morning? It's so easy to get caught up in this world and the expectations of our age and our culture when we need to be resting in Thee, realizing and knowing that Your return is very soon. We thank You for the truth of the rapture. What a glorious thing that was revealed to the Apostle Paul and shared with believers in Christ. And I pray that You would help us to know that You've not left us here alone. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we have that of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, who is our paraclete before the Father. I thank You, Father, for Your goodness, for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your love, which knows no end. And I pray that You do it in our hearts, a work that's great and wonderful. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, please, and let's turn together to number 147. It's a song that we sing from time to time. 147, Christ Returneth. Let's stand together as we sing.
Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would not be upset about the length of time until you're coming. Lord, help us to occupy ourselves with the person of Jesus Christ. We know his presence now. We'll be ready then. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would be comforting one another with these words, encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd work in the hearts and lives of those that may not know Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, help them not just to keep trundling along with no care or concern for their eternal soul. Lord, the one who cares, the one who came, the one who died, the one who rose again, eternally loves them. May they call upon his name today before it's too late. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd watch over your people. Allow us to be able to gather together tonight at 6 o'clock, if it be thy will. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would watch over your saints. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.